For too many years, families of children with devastating illnesses have felt helpless as they watched their child suffer. Today, they're taking matters into their own hands and finally finding relief, treating their child with cannabis. These are their stories.
Hey guys, welcome. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us. This is a Father's Day special. I'm Osiris Stephan, and I'm here with a number of guests to talk about fathers and their roles and responsibilities, but also for those fathers that you don't get to hear about or see. The ones who have, you know, children with certain ailments that, you know, that makes things that much more challenging. So I just want everyone here to introduce themselves and what they do, and also tell us a little bit about your story. So, Justin, you want to get started?
Heck yeah. So thanks for having me, and good to be back. And yes. It's awesome. I love Clubhouse. It's been such an amazing platform for CBD and hemp and cannabis and collaborations and podcasts and doctors and researchers, and it's just been an amazing experience. So happy to be here. I know Father's Day is coming up on Sunday here. I'm making plans to take my son and three daughters and wife down to Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open golf tournament. And yeah, I mean, we got started. Our second child was born, our son, and life was good. You know, white picket fence, dogs, and the whole nine. And, you know, we were playing T-ball and teaching them how to read and write and talk around 2.5 and 3. And all of a sudden, he lost his language, lost his ability to communicate, kind of went into a hole. I thought it was just like a phase, or he would just grow out of it or something. And my wife went and got a diagnosis, and we found out he was diagnosed with severe autism. And certainly the biggest gut punch in my life. Didn't know what that meant, and started doing a lot more research to understand what was the cure. How do we fix it? You know, that's what us guys do. We fix things. And so we went to work. Fortunately, I was raised holistically with plant-based medicine and understood how nutrition and food worked. And we cleaned up his diet. We got rid of anybody that didn't really gel with what we were trying to accomplish. There's a lot of people that had their theories. There's organizations out there that really just tell you it's a lifelong sentence and just deal with it, cope with it. When I wasn't gonna, I was his only dad, and I was gonna fix it, darn it. So when we cleaned up his diet and probiotics and gut health and immune system with clean juicing, no processed foods, no refined sugars, we did a food allergy test. We got all of his blood levels, everything we possibly could to really understand the baseline of where we were. And he had heavy metals and pesticides off the charts. I mean, absolutely off the charts. So his body was attacking itself. And that's what autoimmune diseases are. It's overinflammation. It's, you know, it doesn't know the good cells from the bad cells. So once we got his gut health going, his diet and nutrition going, his autism was down to the moderate level. So we could reteach him how to talk and reteach him how to just communicate, make eye contact, and we were making progress. He was definitely behind socially and delayed and tantrums and things like that, but we were making progress, but we weren't all the way back. And so we kept digging, kept meeting with doctors, flying all over the country, all over the world, meeting with researchers, anything we possibly could find. There just wasn't much out there. And you know, we'd find little articles and some here, like some methylated B12 shots. And we'd find a little hope here and some research there. And finally, I'm sitting down at a diner, a place called the Busy Bee in downtown Ventura, California. My buddy's a cannabis grower. We're sitting there talking, and his friend is says he wants to make a roll-on pen, a CBD pen for pain. And I was like, what the heck is CBD? I called it CDB. I didn't know what it was. He goes, well, apparently there's something in cannabis that helps with pain. And I'm like, all right, dude. Like, I knew everything there was to know about cannabis back in college and growing up, and I even grew. Grew up in the Midwest and was a farmer and grew cannabis out here in Southern California when I moved out here. And I was like, I never heard of CBD in my life. So then I start digging in, and wouldn't you know, I find this research how CBD is helping children with epilepsy and seizures, children. And I was like, what? And so when I dug a little bit deeper, Dr. Mashulam discovered this in the 1970s. Obviously, the beautiful story with Charlotte Fege and her mom, Paige. And so that was like, oh my God. So there's a plant that comes from the earth that is scientifically proven to reduce or stop seizures from children. And then I connected, obviously, epilepsy, seizures, neurological ailment with autism, and said, you know what, we're going all in. So I talked to everybody in the industry I possibly could, and we started trying all the products ourselves first and then him. Didn't get the immediate results that we wanted, but I wasn't going to give up because I knew it was my best lead. And as a dad, I trusted my instincts, and I always encourage parents to do the same. Do your own research, trust your own instincts. And that led me to Dr. William Courtney's research with juicing cannabis. He was using it to juice late stage, stage 4, stage 5 cancer, people in hospice. And he was having incredible results. And then that's when the total eureka went. I was like, that's it, man. Why are people burning and heating and isolating and denaturing this beautiful plant? I get if you want to turn THCA into THC Delta 9, they get stoned. But if you want to get healthy, you want to leave the plant exactly the way it was grown. So I just grew some high CBDA cannabis, hemp, whatever you want to call it out here in Southern California. Made a real simple cold press oil extraction. Gave it to my son. He was out of pumpkin patch having a tantrum, hands over the ears, screaming, kicking while everyone else is picking pumpkins. Literally, my wife gives it to him 2 minutes later. He snaps out of it, runs off to go picks out his pumpkin. And the whole family's there, and aunt and uncle and grandparents. And they're like, what was that? What'd you give him? And it was like, it's that cold pressed CBDA hemp oil. And so fast forward to the finish line. My son's no longer on the spectrum. He's the only documented child with nutrition and lots of hemp supplement to go from severe autism to diagnosed off the spectrum. And we set up an organization, 101cbd.org, to just share our story, share the products, collaborate, teach people how to grow hemp in their backyard. We give away free hemp seeds as well. And like I said, just honored to be here, happy to share the story, collaborate, and get together with some other dads that have gone through hell and back, and here we are.
Thanks, Justin. I hear your story, and I'm like, wow. I can imagine that's a lot, especially when you have other children. I mean, we have similar stories. You know, with my son, who was 2.5 when he was diagnosed with epilepsy, and, you know, the journey goes on where you're up and down. You have some good days, you have bad days, but you keep pushing. And one of the things I recalled was that moment where I realized, like, we're using this plant to, like, empower us. And as a dad, it's like, you've had those moments where you felt vulnerable, you felt defeated when, you know, your child is going through something, you feel like you don't know what to do, you feel helpless, feel like your hands are tied. It's like, what are you doing? And there's times when you're arguing with your partner, you're getting into fights over, like, what are we going to do? What are the options? Like, you know, it's like all these emotions and you're trying to deal with, and there's this plant, it's right there, giving you all the answers, but yet, you know, you're second guessing, you're wondering, you know, are you doing the right thing? And you question almost every step until eventually you just said, let me give in and see how this works. But that being said, and it's funny that you mentioned something like you had to cut people off in your life that just wasn't going with the plan. It's true. So many people are so like ignorant to things that they only think one way and they're not willing to take chances. And as a dad, you stand up for your family. You're like, no, this is the way we're going to do it. It's either you're with us or you're not with us. And that was something we thought about when we talked to the doctors and we're like, this is what we're going to do. You either work with us or you don't. You know, we gave them that option. But I don't think I would have been able to do that if I didn't believe in the plan. And it's just that the decisions as a dad you have to make, it could be overwhelming and stressful. So when you were making that decision, Justin, what went through your mind? You know, how did you feel about making that decision?
Well, again, I mean, we were at the point where we were so desperate, 2 years in, roughly, of trying everything we possibly could and having, you know, moderate success, but not breakthrough success. And there was nothing out there. There was hardly anything that was showing real improvement. It was really just like, you're going to have to deal with it. And so, I mean, I'm the oldest of six. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I just really didn't care what other people thought. My job as the dad is to help my son, is to help raise him right, and so he can live a healthy and happy life. And so, unfortunately, I lived in California, so I didn't ever get any pushback. There were some schools that wanted to put him in the most remedial classes and things like that, and we yanked him out of there too. And we found a good school that was welcoming. And, you know, when they say when God shuts one door, he opens another. And that worked. That was our situation for that as well. So we got lucky. And I'm just kind of wired that way. But I certainly encourage other parents to, if you're not wired that way, to just dig a little deeper, because we're all wired that way when it comes to doing what's best for our kids and screw other people's opinions.
True. Yeah, I think about those moments where it's like, you know, I'm left alone, and, you know, I try not to show any, you know, sensitivity or vulnerability, but then with some moments where it's like, is he going to make it? Like, what's his life going to be like? What, how is he ever going to be able to take care of himself? What kind of life will he have? Will he ever go to college? Will he, you know, all these superficial things. And it's just like, you know, as dad, you know, you think about, you know, I want him to play sports. I want him to be someone special. I want him to do certain things, you know, that I wanted to do. And I found myself, like, moments alone just crying because I just didn't know what the future would hold for him. And it's like, I just want to take that pain he's going through. But I see him sometimes. He doesn't seem to be going through that much pain or any pain at all. But for me as a dad, it's like you have these dreams and hopes for your child, and then you think it's being taken away. Have you had those moments?
Oh, sure. I think we all have. You know what I mean? I think we've all had those moments where we didn't know how things were going to turn out, and we just hoped for the best. And yeah, there's certainly dark days. And fortunately, it's been so long now that we've had such good positive success. I can't even really remember them. Thank God. Maybe I just reprogrammed my brain with NLP to just remember the good. But yeah, I remember some really, really dark days. That's for sure.
True. Yeah. And I hear what you're saying, because that's one thing I tell my wife too, is like, let's hold on to the good days. Of course, there's going to be bad days, but the good days that just makes it that much better. You know, going through it, it's like we had our challenges. I mean, my wife and I were sleeping at times. We were arguing over what we're going to do next, how we're going to handle things. Talking to doctors, all they just want to do is pump medication down the child's nose. Like, look, it's like you feel like you're being attacked from all sides. But as a dad, you know, you just got to stand your ground and be strong. But there are some moments where you wish somebody just give you a pat on the back and say, look, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to work itself out. And there's days that it does happen, and there's days that doesn't. And one some things I do think about is, like, are we being appreciated for what we're doing? Are we being, you know, looked at as like, that's a strong dad. He's really doing the right thing. I don't know if I could do what he's doing. And I don't know if we get that recognition. I don't know if we even want that recognition. I don't know if you and your wife have ever talked about things like that.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we were a team, and my mom was out here as well helping out. And I just think you get so focused on healing your child that you just don't you don't have really much time to think about other things. You know, for me, it was, you know, because our situation was so clearly regressive that we knew him as a healthy boy. And that was the part where it was clearly burned in my mind that, you know, we were going to fix this and there had to be a solution. So something obviously happened for him to lose communication skills, for him to, you know, go into that hole. And so we just had to reverse those effects and you know, a lot of hard nights and a lot of hopelessness crept in, but just sticking to the course. And yeah, we got lucky, man. It was that's why we call it the miracle plant, and that's why we're on such a big mission to pay it forward, because you know, we didn't know if we were going to get out of it or not.
Hey, Justin.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I'm always curious, like I'm sure it's not, doesn't apply so much to Osiris, but for you, is when someone, I'm fortunate that I've never, and I hope I never have to experience what you guys went through, because I just don't know that I'd be able to get through it as well as you did, as well as both of you have. But the one thing I'm always curious as to, what's going through your mind about your other kids? Because, you know, you're not, it's not, you have four kids and you're not spending, you know, it's not 25, 25, 25% for each one. It's like 80% on one and the other ones are getting what's left over. How did you manage that?
Well, so we had an older daughter that it was certainly tough on her. And I think we're still trying to kind of make sense of it to her, that you're pouring in so much attention on solving one child's issues. And so, you know, but there was nothing else we could do.
Yeah.
Right. We had to put all of our attention into healing basically our sick child. So, I know that definitely left some void, if you will, in our oldest daughter. And, I think we're still making up for that. It certainly was hard. The other ones came along as he was rounding the bend. So he still gets a little bit more attention than, you know, than maybe 25, 25, 25, 25, like you said, just because they're still, he lost 2 years of his life. I mean, he basically was in a coma for 2 years. And so we're still catching up, but you know, the catching up part is really mostly just about social cues and things like that. And I took him to his first jujitsu wrestling class yesterday, and it was really complicated stuff. It was like an intermediate class in which he'd never been in any of it before. He took right to it, and you know, we certainly, it's certainly hard on the other children too. It's an astute point.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up, Dan, because that's what's really been holding us from having another child. You know, we've always thought about, you know, let's have a girl. But I'm like, but then what happens when that child is born? Who are we going to spend more time with? Because obviously it's going to be a newborn, so we got to spend more time on him or her. So then, you know, is Aiden going to be the one played the backseat now? Or are we going to still continue to pay more attention and not as much attention to the newborn? So it's like a back and forth with the idea. And then at some point we just said, you know what, it wouldn't be fair. But then we go back again and say, well, he's going to grow up alone. What happens if we move on and he's here in this world by himself? Then what? So we feel kind of guilty either way. Any decision we make is kind of like, you still feel guilty about it.
Yeah, I think you figure it out. I know this is a Father's Day special, but I know for me and most of the guys most of my buddies would say the same thing, is when you have your first kid and you're just like, I mean, you just can't even imagine. Once you get to know, you just can't even get to imagine anybody could even come close, you know, you'd feel the same for anybody. And then, you know, when you have your second and third kids, you're like, at first it's like, well, yeah, they're cute, but they're babies. They're not, you know, this kid that's 2 or 3 years old. I mean, in a few weeks, it's like, what the heck? You're just as attached to, you know, the mom's attached to him instantly, but the dad, it takes, you know, a few days, but eventually it's like, and you know, before you know it, it's, you know, everyone's getting all the attention that you can possibly share equally, because, you know, you just, it's just like having another arm or another leg. It's like, you can't imagine being without it. And that's, I think, what happens. And you guys are such great parents. You should have 2 or 3 more like Justin.
Yeah, I'm going to take a seat on that one. It's a lot of work, because in a day, it's like your morning starts at 5:30. If you're not going to the gym, you wake up and you're making breakfast, and you have this regimen that you have to follow through. And it takes literally almost like 45 minutes just to get him ready for, you know, for school. Because, you know, you're putting out all his meds, you're making sure he has CBD, you make sure he has his other added, you know, vitamins, minerals, and then he's got to get 8 ounces of water in, if not a chase with a glass of milk. So you have all this diet protocol. Then you have him get dressed on his own. Then you're rushing down to get the bus. So it's like, could you imagine trying to do that with 2 to 3 other children? I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Osiris, it's funny you say that because I remember those days. I mean, I didn't have those type of rigmarigs, but what we would have instead would be arguments or this person took this or this person. And so you're dealing with all kinds of drama and then just racing off to school. And then it's after school, I got to be this practice and make sure you get over to this practice in time or this recital in time. And then all of a sudden it's over and you're like, oh my God, that was the last time. And, you know, that I missed it. I don't remember the last day I had to drive my kids to school, but you know, now it's over. And then, so I know it seems stressful right now, but, and you know, you hear all these, I'm not that old, but you can, but I would, you know, you'd love to have those stressful mornings again. That would be great.
You got a point there. I do think about it too. There are moments where I just stop by. I'm like, wow. Cause I didn't have my dad. So I never got to meet my father. Don't know him. So, you know, a lot of what I'm doing, I'm pretty much winging it in a way, but yet building something, you know, something that he can follow as a template, because all my father experiences are, I'm in them now, basically. So it's not like something that he had left me a book or I watched someone else doing day in, day out. So I look at it this way. It's like, I'm giving my son something that I didn't have. And that's an opportunity to call someone dad, you know, someone to, you know, at night when I'm reading to him or I'm helping with homework or I'm teaching him how to put t-ball. You know, my wife does most of that because I coach as well. So he's on the team and it's like, wow, I catch myself every now and then and say, oh, my God, I don't believe I'm doing this. I could only imagine what it would have been like for me if my dad was in my life and he would have been doing these things, you know, the homework, the reading at night, laying next to me, making sure I'm OK, feeding me, helping me get dressed, teaching me how to take a shower, all these things. And it's like, wow. But I think it gives me more of appreciation for doing it. And it's allowed me to connect with my son in a different way. So I don't know if you guys, I mean, for you, Justin, you do it over and over again. Yeah, 4.
It's not easy. but, you know, I'm sure, like Dan said, you know, looking back, it's kind of like you just remember the smiles and the pictures and the, you know, it used to be, you know, album books, but, you know, now it's your phone and your Facebook memories pop up and you don't remember all the fighting and the discipline and the, you know, all of that and the tough stuff. You just kind of remember the highlights. And so when you're in the fight, when you're in the war, you sometimes, you know, it's certainly stressful. And the reason that it's stressful is that you're trying to raise good kids. I mean, anyone can be a shitty parent and not give a hell what your kids do and let them eat shit and let them hang out with dumb people or, you know, just idiots, you know, whatever lot of folks or whatever. And that's easy to be a bad parent. You know, you don't have to care. You don't have to be around, you know, and it's only difficult when you're trying to raise good kids and you want them to be happy and understand that there's consequences for making bad decisions and give them a template for when you make a mistake, what was the lesson? You know, it's kind of like, and trying different things and failure is the best teacher on the planet. And just, you know, giving them the courage and the support to try new things and pick yourself up. And when they find something that they truly love, a passion, whether it's a sport or the arts or whatever, you just support the heck out of them. And so, you know, that's what I mean. It's certainly a handful. But you know, it's everything that's anything that's great in life is it takes a lot of work. And, you know, obviously the greatest things in life are the relationships that we have, whether it's friends or family.
That's awesome. Now, with your son going to school, is he treated differently? Do they see him differently, or is that he kind of blends in? because for us in our school, we've been very fortunate with the school he's at, because the teachers are actually started teaching the kids about epilepsy and what it means. So when they see Aiden have a seizure, they know how to take care of him. It's amazing to see how the class just turned to him and they just support him. How supportive are the school, like the staff and the students, with your son?
Oh, we really lucked out. We have an incredible school and so much support. Great teachers. We just really couldn't be happier. And, a school is only as good as its teacher and the grade that you're in. And to date, we've just had unbelievably supportive and caring teachers who, were, we would have the IEPs, and you sat down at the beginning of the year and you had goals and things to work on. And, it's really crazy sometimes to have, we had an end of the year one, and it was just like, he did great. He got his highest academic award. Now, again, the thing is, obviously, like I said before, is he had social delays because he basically was in a coma for 2 years. I mean, he was just not there. And so catching up on those social cues and being in school, that's the most important thing for him. And obviously with coronavirus and having to homeschool, and a lot of our kids that are on the spectrum, they love routine. And that was just, man, that was nuts. Homeschooling and back and forth and masks and all that stuff was just that. But we got through it. Yeah,
it was a bit tough. I know Aiden had, I actually had more of a hard time with it than Aiden. He can care less. He was just excited to be with his family. He was home, got to watch some TV and just hang out with us. Hey, Miguel, how's it going? You want to chime in? Or are you just here to listen?
Sorry, I'm outside. It's a little noisy. I'm going to be in my car in a few minutes.
Nah, no problem, my friend. No problem. Be safe. So, as a dad, too, one of the things that I noticed when you mentioned IEPs, it reminds me of the meetings we would have. And one thing that one of many things I came away with early on when we got involved with the early childhood programs for my son was that they would dismiss me being there. So I'd be in these meetings, having these discussions with them. When my wife's sitting there, they would never address me. They would never look at me. They always talked to my wife. They always looked at her. And it's like they got into a conversation and it's like, I'm sitting here. Because at the time, when my son was going through this, I was a stay-at-home dad. So all the information I needed to have, in fact, I was one that initiated this, to get him involved in the early childhood. So I'm like reaching out to these people, and yet they just want to talk to mom. And that kind of bothered the hell out of me. But then I found out that the reason why was that a lot of dads were not involved in the child's early childhood programs, that rarely do they see them. It was just mostly the moms that they dealt with, already had conversations with. And so that kind of like really got under my skin. I'm like, okay, I really need to address this. I need to start talking to them more often than finding out what I can do to let them know that, hey, I am here. So as a dad, that's something you really have to stay on top of. I don't know, Miguel, if you have a chance, if you're listening in, if you had that experience.
Hey, I'm finally in my car.
No worries.
So, yeah, I mean, I have my son was diagnosed with autism at first.
When he was young, basically around 2 years old, he had delays. So they said it was probably autism. But then we just found out like a year ago, it was actually dyslexia. But again, like I've been in all the meetings and trying to understand how to give him the best opportunities, but still kind of fighting that fight. Like,
yeah.
Literally, we really fight to get him assistive technology. Like, he gets a laptop now where he gets, like, special programs to help dyslexics. Because I'm in a special school for a specific thing, most don't really have the resources to help. So we've been trying to fight for that. Yeah, being involved as a father, it's tough because, I also am the main breadwinner, so it's hard to keep track of all of it. But, I do worry about his future and like how he's gonna be as an adult, because I do, especially now with this year, how much he's fell behind, you know, with the online learning, and you know, it's just tough for every kid this year. But yeah, I mean, this is an awesome platform. Nice to meet all you guys that are doing amazing stuff for your children. Inspirational to me. I'm gonna try to do better, guys.
That's hard. That was one of the things I was going to ask Justin. Like, how do you handle running a business and a family? Like, it's like you still got to be commander in chief, but you got to have like a lieutenant on the side that works with you. Because I know that sometimes it's like you're going to butt heads on decisions. But how is it that you're able to maintain the family and run a business?
Well, if we're handed out awards, I'll take one. But, you know, it's hard, man. It's super hard. But, you know, what is it? What kind of life do you want to live? You know, what is it that you're here for? And I fortunately had a lot of success when I was younger, running a business and just, you know, doing my thing. And so I had been to the mountaintop financially and all of that and the jet setter lifestyle. And, you know, it was great. But like my dream scenario was making tons of money so I could travel the world and play golf all the time. And that's what I was doing. And it was great, but it wasn't necessarily fulfilling. And so when we had our family and we started having children, obviously things shift and you start working on, you know, on spending more time with them and your priorities shift. And so, but then we obviously had our diagnosis with our second child. That's when everything changed. And then when I saw the huge gap between what this plant can do and what, you know, Joe Q Public thinks about this plant, then I knew all of my communication skills and sales and marketing and everything that I had learned up until this point. This was my chance to make a contribution. This is my legacy. This is my way to pay it forward. This is my thing. This is what I need to do with my life. Because what this plant did for my son, it can do for millions of other families. And I'm the person that can do it. I know I can do it. I know I can get out there and talk to people. I know I can get out there and explain what the, you know, by sharing my story and offering free products. I mean, at the end of the day, what we want to do is we want to be able to have r.org be set up in a manner that anybody, everybody can come and get free products. And we teach people how to grow hemp in their backyard with free seeds. You don't need to buy products from me. You can just grow it in your backyard, put it in your omega juicer with your carrots and your celery and get the most that this plant has to offer. I won't make a penny off of it, but because you can't take it with you, folks. And so that's where my why is so big that, yes, I'm up every morning at 5 or whatever and doing all my morning routine stuff that I got to do. And we got 4 kids and, you know, keeping our head above float like Bubba Gump and Forrest Gump and the greatest, craziest hurricane on a shrimping boat to get through this last year and a half. And it's all worth it because I clearly see that we want to help 1 billion people by 2025, whether it's by products, videos, education, or seeds. And I'm not going to rest until I've hit that goal. I'm not going to rest until the whole world knows what this plant can do for them and what eating right and thinking right can do for them. Because we're screwed up, man. The way that we think right now in this country, social media, comparing with the Joneses, the things that we think are important, it's crazy. You know, the pharmaceutical model that people just continue to bash their heads on, you know, and say, it's hilarious. Like, could you imagine if you were an alien and you came here and you watched the commercials and you're like, you guys have a rash? And you're going to take a pill that can cause a heart attack? Why would you take the pill? It's like, what are you thinking? And so there's just so much help. And we're here right now on the frontier and we can do it. You're doing it out there, Osiris. I've seen you. You're out there and you're working with legislators. I'm out there doing the same thing on the West Coast. You're on the East Coast and there's just so much to do. And it's hard as hell. But you know what? It's all worth it because we get to talk to these families. And I know we've worked with you and we've worked with hundreds and thousands of families. And to hear the tears in their eyes when they get to hug their child and they see the first smile or the first words or they're making great progress or they're starting to adopt other children. and they're expanding their families because the child that they had the problem with is better, doing better. So it's just a matter of how big is your why. And for me, this is everything. And I also, kids won't listen to what you say. They'll watch what you do. And if you want to be a great parent, do great things and show them that you can take control of your life and that you have a dream and that you accomplish it. And so every single day, I know why I'm here and what I'm doing. And it's hard, but it's awesome. And you got to enjoy the ride, man. Don't just get caught up in the destination. You get what you focus on. Every single day can be the greatest day of your life. Just like that moment when you wake up in the morning and you feel great before you start thinking about your to-do list. You can feel great all day long, and you got to work on what you put in your head and surround yourself with positive, great people. And so, yeah, it's a lot of hard work, brother, but I'm up for it. I love it.
Thanks, Justin. Amen to that. But, you know, when you say those moments that you cherish, it's like, it's funny. I was trying to teach my son. I would always tell him, you know, I love you. I love you, Aiden. I love you. Hoping that one day he'll say that to me. And it was not too long ago, probably a couple of years ago, he started saying, I love you, Daddy. I'm like, oh, my God, he said it. Wow. And he means it. So he says it now so naturally. But what makes it more special is the moments when he says it, when I least expect it. So it's like, because there was a time where I was hoping he'd just say the word daddy. And now he's gotten to that point where he's saying, I love you, Dad. And it's like, it's really, really something special. And what was it like for you guys when you first hear your child saying, I love you?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the same boat. I mean, you never know if your child's going to ever say another word. You never know if your child's going to make eye contact. You never know if they're going to laugh. You never know if they're going to sing. You never know if you're going to be able to play catch. And, you know, unfortunately, we went with the current model, the predominant model in our country, just the United States, there's not a lot of great success stories out there. When you go the traditional road, this country, it's not healthcare, baby. It's sick care. And we're the tests. We're the gerbils, man. You know, it's crazy. They made a drug called Epidiolex, which is a synthetic form of CBD that, you know, costs $32,000 a year that they're made for children with epilepsy. $32,000 a year. So your child doesn't have seizures. And I know your child has seizures. And so it's like, what are you talking about? This is a hemp plant that grows wild all over Nebraska where I grew up. We called it ditchweed. It's hemp. It's everywhere. You couldn't kill it if you wanted to. It's free. And you know, we live in this model where it's like, no, you need to take this prescription. Oh, wait, let's try this prescription. And then, well, if you take this prescription, you can't take it with this prescription. And if you start taking this prescription, then you can't ever get off of it. And it's like, and they don't know what they're doing because the people that are teaching them are the pharmaceutical reps, right? I mean, what were we doing 100 years ago? How did we ever make it? And where did rheumatoid arthritis come from? Because I sure as hell never heard about it in the 50s and the 60s. So the point is that this system is broke, and we have to, you know, figure out ways to just, you know, open up our eyes and as dads, like you want to be the captain, you want to be the captain of the ship. Well, trust your own instincts, do your own damn research. Don't just trust some dude in a white coat. You know what I mean? And that's another great thing about Clubhouse. There is so much great information that it's talked about on here. I've had so many great conversations with doctors and researchers. I can't even, you know, I was getting pinged on while we're on here right now. There's a room called or a club called Holistic Bitches. That's the name of their club. And they're great. There's these wonderful women and there's men in there too, talking about holistic ways and natural ways to heal our bodies from all kinds of diseases. And yeah, like I said, I'm as you can tell, they also call me the Clubhouse Wizard. Because I put on a little wizard costume on Sundays and recap what the founders say. But as you can tell, I'm a pretty big fan of Clubhouse.
Yeah, I did see you in that costume. I thought you were part of the – what was that book? But yeah, that's Merlin.
The Wizard of Oz or Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings, and then was the other one, Harry Potter. It was leaning more towards Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that that costume I actually got, I think is an official Lord of the Rings costume. Because you know me, if you're going to swim, get wet, dive into the deep end and get your hair wet. And so it was fun. We did that for a while. And like I said, I really am super impressed and blessed because Clubhouse has been a place for all of us to collaborate. Look at this great show that we're having. I mean, I know you and I knew each other, but I mean, how many people and dads and great people have you met on Clubhouse in the CBD hemp cannabis space?
Oh, a lot. I've connected. I would have to say I've met a lot of great people in the industry, especially dads, because one of the interesting things is that I rarely get to meet dads who are in the same situation as we are. And when I find them in this industry, it's because of, you know, basically an injured child pushes them into this industry because they wanted to go the holistic route. They just didn't, like you were saying, they didn't want to do the pharma med to have the child sitting in a corner somewhere drooling and just basically not motivated and on 10 different medications. It's just like, wow, that's no life for a child. And as a dad, that kind of kills you because you're like, I don't have it in me to solve my child's problem, or I just don't care enough. You know, there was a time where I would say to people that, you know, children can be a lifestyle inconvenience for some parents. You know, they just don't fit in their schedule. You know, I don't have time to go to a PTA meeting. I don't have time to take you to your sports events. I have things to do. And for me, I'm like, I'm always going to be there for my son. I'm always going to be fighting for him. I'm always going to be pushing no matter what. And, you know, I'll go to his school and I push back. And I'm like, hey, you're not doing that with my son. And it's funny, I'm like, during this time of COVID where they're putting these, you know, these thermal guns to the forehead. I'm like, no, you're not doing that to my son. It's already traumatic just to be in a neighborhood where they're shooting each other every day. And yet you're going to put this in my son's forehead. I'm like, no. But something simple as that and standing up for your child goes a long way.
Absolutely. Well, and like we talked about before is, you know, it's easy to be a crappy parent. You just don't care or pay attention. It's only hard when you're being a good parent and you're putting in the work. Were you going to say something, Dan?
Yeah, I was just going to say I listen to both of you every week. So I know the stories, and I can't every single week I come away inspired. And one of the things that, you know, you mentioned is, you know, is being a father, or, you know, the sometimes your role is to try to, you know, to be strong and everyone to look to you for when things are bad, they look to you. And one thing that, you know, one way that manifests is through optimism. It's hard to be optimistic when you're scared or when you're, you know, when you're, and if you can, and one thing that I see with both of you guys is just this amazing sense of optimism. It's always, we got this. We're going to get this. Don't worry. We got this. I got this. I will figure this out. And that goes a long way for the people around you, whether it's your employees or whether it's your family, or especially, I mean, and you guys take it to the next level, maintaining optimism to, you know, in the face of really, really uncertainty. And I think that, you know, just goes, it says so much about what you've done so far and where you're going.
Well, right back at you, Dan. You're a super optimistic, you know, great guy, and have been a champion for this plant and given both of us a platform to have podcasts. And because before Clubhouse, podcasts was one of the only other ways to get our messages out. And now we're combining podcasts on Clubhouse. And it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, I agree. Attitude and positivity is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, I think my wife gets mad at me. She goes, you're over optimistic. I was like, I have to be. We already know what's the worst. We've already been through the worst. You know, those nights of not being able to sleep. Your child's going through it in the middle of the night. You're not sleeping. You're trying to decide who goes to work, who stays home. You've been through the worst. So the only things left is positive things to happen. You know, and especially if you're putting in, like you said, Justin, if you're putting in the work day in and day out, good things are going to come about. And even if it doesn't, you know, there's a good day somewhere coming down the line. So it's like you look at yourself and say, why should I deserve a better day than the next person? There might be somebody out there who deserves a better day than I do. You know, who am I? I don't want to feel like as if I'm something special to anyone else or to any, you know, to the world itself. You know, I'm just like any other human being. It's just that my situation is a tad bit different because of my son. But their situation could be different as well. But I appreciate all the things that are in my life and appreciate the things that are not in my life, you know. And, you know, talking to Justin and hearing his story and staying positive constantly, like, wow, this guy's a ball of energy, you know. It's like, I got to be that way with my son, you know, just keeping him going.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, our kids only have one dad. And like you said, your dad wasn't around. And, you know, you're going to – they say that children will either embrace or rebel against the example you set. So if you set the example of being a bad dad or a bad parent or someone who's not around, then the child can either decide to model that and let the cycle continue, or they can rebel against it. And obviously we are doing the best we can, and no one's perfect. And, you know, you just keep doing the best you can every day. And, you know, I talked to my wife about that, you know, and one of the things that I say is when it comes to raising a family, if you make a decision, as long as you're making decisions that are in the children's best interest, then you're going to be okay. Like, it's all going to work out eventually. Just keep making good decisions. You know, stop worrying about what your parents think or the neighbors think or whoever, whatever it is, or whatever alternative is that gets in your head. Just make a decision that's in their best interest, and things are going to work out.
That's so true. I was always said that. Just like, as long as we're doing it from a good place, we should be fine. You know, there's no ulterior motives. There's no, you know, anything that's not going to be beneficial to the family. We should be fine in any decision we make. Even just like just relocating. I mean, we relocated during the COVID lockdown, but it's to a better situation for, you know, for our son to grow up. But it has its moments and it has its special moments. And I do enjoy the special moments. And like you were mentioning how your child's been doing well in school, like my son as well. And he's excelling. He's actually ahead of schedule with his reading level. And you're talking about a kid who's, like you said, stopped talking. I had to teach him sign language at the age of 2 till he's 3. And finally, he's starting to take off and blossom. And it's amazing. He's playing baseball, you know, sometimes. Because, you know, boys in the field, they start to play with the dirt or butterflies. But watching him and, you know, him being by my side is like, wow. Okay, I think I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm on the right track. Because there's moments you second guess yourself. You wonder if you're doing the right thing. Especially when the missus is mad at you every now and then. you just gotta like check your dots and you know, check all those boxes and make sure you're on track. But one thing is I never try to get ahead of myself, and I just stay grounded because I know my son is watching. He's watching every move I make, every step, how I carry myself, how I talk to my wife, and how I even talk to him. You know, if he asks for a hug, I never reject him. I never reject him. If he says, hey, could you just lay next to me while I sleep? Not a problem. Will you read to me? Not a problem. I would never say no to him. And I hold on to those moments because I know I never had those moments. So for me to be able to share that, it means a lot.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, you've made it. So you've, like you said, you've made it through the gauntlet. Any some sage words of wisdom for us dads and the dads out there listening to this show? Any sage words to pass along to us? Well, you've got a bunch of great kids.
Yeah. Well, first off, I don't think I've made it through the gauntlet. I think some days it feels like I'm just starting. I made it through one gauntlet. Maybe that's one way to look at it. But I think that the stage that you guys are in when your kids are still, you know, maybe you still have a little bit of influence on them, and then they don't, you know, they don't think you have no idea what you're talking about. you know, you hear it all the time, but it's gone. It's gone fast. And, you know, you can't do it over again, and you can't say, well, you know what, I'll fix everything I didn't do right when I have my grandkids, because you have an opportunity right now, and I think you guys are embracing that opportunity, and I'm sure most dads are see it the way we do, but you got it. You know, sometimes it's the times that you're like, oh, I got to make this call, or I got to get this paid, I got to get this done, or I got to get back to this person, or I got to go to the gym, or I got to, and you're like, and you see this kid just, you know, and you're like, man, you know, you wish there's going to be a point where you're going to wish you had that back. So I don't know. That's all I can say.
That's a good point. I do think about those days too. I'm sitting and watching TV. He's like, I'm going out to play. I'm like, okay. And I know I'm exhausted. And I'm like, I should be going out there with him, because there's been so many scary nights with him where I don't know if he's going to wake up the next day. Because if he has a seizure in the middle of the night, and it's like, damn, I don't want to regret that I didn't spend time with him, or I didn't spend enough time with him, or I could have done something different the other day. And that keeps me motivated into, you know, really trying to make every minute count that I spend with him, and, you know, and appreciate every day, because that's like one of my biggest fears is like, oh, dad, come and lay with me. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to go to my bed. You sleep in your bed. And, you know, that would have been that night that something happens to him and I can't take back. So I hear it. So I definitely, you know, am attuned in a sense of like spend every second. It's the quality of time. It's the quality. Not so much the quantity, but the quality.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the part that, I mean, it makes you sad even saying it. But there are certain things that you do with your kids and then you'll never do it again with them. And you don't know when that last time was, but it'll be, you know, it'll happen. Like, you know, whether it's sitting on your lap or, you know, there's just, and then one day you're like, oh my God. Yeah. That's what you got to watch out for. Cause it catches up with you quick.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, my oldest daughter is, you know, she's 11 going on 18.
Wow.
And you know, you can just see, you know, the there was a shift there. I'm like, whoa, wait a second here. First of all, she's as tall as her mom already. I'm like, whoa. And then, but, you know, definitely growing up and, you know, I still have some, she still listens to me somewhat. So I still have some, I'm still getting in there, but I know that I'm in a mastermind with Dr. Wyatt Woodsmall. And he's the guy that basically taught Tony Robbins NLP, and he had us do an exercise, which I thought was pretty good. So basically you write down the top five priorities in your life. And so you just write them down real quick. And then after you write down the top five priorities, you know, family, God, business, whatever it is, friends and things, then you put it in order from one to five. So top of the food chain, and, you know, and a lot of people, I would assume, and myself, would be family, and, you know, especially those of us that have kids, and then after that, whatever else it is. And so, you write these things down, and then next to your top five list, you write, percentage of time that you spend on those top fives. And so you write down like what's the percentage you spend with your family, what's the percentage you spend, you know, on your business, what's the percentage you spend, you know, on whatever the others. And for me, it was pretty you know, eye awakening when, you know, I put my family as my top priority and it's what matters the most to me, but I'm spending 10 or 20% of my time with them. And, you know, I'm spending so much time doing other things as well. But at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters and the only finite resource, the most important resource, is time. And like you were saying, Dan, you can't get it back. So sometimes you have to ask yourself, you're like, well, I'm going to make all this money and have this lifestyle. And then when I get there, then I'm going to spend time with my family and we're going to spend all this time together. Or you can choose to spend time with them right now. Like my kids are off school for summer break this week is the first week. And I've been hanging around the house. Like, I could go into the office and work, and I do. And, you know, this day and age, you can work basically 24 hours a day. But then I just find myself coming home early and having lunch and hanging out at the beach. And just because, you, like you said, Dan, you can't get that time back. And if it really is your top priority, your family, then figure out ways to spend more time with them. I know some people like Grant Cardone have private planes, and I'm all for it. I'm all for private planes. And he flies his family around with him. And NASCAR drivers do that. They live in RVs and travel from, you know, racetrack to racetrack. So I would just challenge everyone to try that and maybe just take a look at it. And if your family and your children are your most important thing, then figure out how to spend more time with them. Don't delude yourself. Don't be delusional about what's the most important thing, and figure out ways to spend the most time in that category.
Thank you, Justin, on that one. Dan, too, because it is so true. And it reminds me of what you were saying about, you know, trying to figure out your top five priorities. I think someone, Ken Wilbert, talked about that. He called it all quadrants, all lines. Like, where do you spend the most times on your level of development? And family tends to be, you know, verbally everybody's top one, top three, but yet in practice, it's like at the bottom. Sometimes not even number five. And I'm guilty of that too. So I spend so much time at work. I'm like, even when you're home with your family, your mind is still on work. Really not with your family when you're saying that, yeah, I'm spending time with my family. You're there physically, but mentally you're somewhere else. But it's something to think about. And as a dad, you know, every second is important, because even your time is not, no guarantee. So that time you spend is something you're going to leave your child with that memory. You know, my dad is here. My dad did this, you know. And so I think about that. You know, what kind of legacy am I going to leave behind? And hold on to that. So, gentlemen, I mean, we've reached an hour, and I appreciate you all. You guys are all brothers to me, because we've spent almost over a year and a half, 2 years together. We know each other's experience. We know each other's families and things of that nature. And I appreciate you guys joining us. And to all the guests that listened in, thank you. You guys could follow us. Please tune in. I'm on Love and Can podcast. Dan's part of our podcast next, and Justin's as well, with the Hemp family. So I just want to say thank you all for tuning in. And Justin and Dan, thank you for participating.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for putting this on, and it's a great idea. And, I think it's really cool. You know, the moms always get the love, you know, when the son scores the touchdown in the football game, it's, I love you, Mom. And I'm okay with that, I guess. But, you know, and we don't do it for the recognition. And
yeah,
just a tip of the cap to both of you guys for being great dads. And we'll just keep doing our thing. And it's great to know you two great dads out there. And it's I've also had some great dad conversations. There's rooms on dads on Clubhouse. So I encourage people to find those rooms too, because it's fun to hang out with other dads and hear some lessons and some strategies that work for them as well. But certainly happy to be here, and look forward to hanging out in person again with both of you. Dan, you and I haven't even hung out yet, darn it. But I look forward to it real soon.
Well, and thank you guys for, you know, everything that you're doing. And I know the universe thanks you for what you're doing. I know you're making a big difference, whether you feel it or not. You're making a big difference, whether Justin gets to a billion people by 2025, or, you know, Osiris has five more kids and spreads what he's the love that he has with his family. It's all good. And I'm just glad to be part of I'm just glad to be along for the ride. So keep inspiring everyone.
You do the same. And happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day to all.
Happy Father's Day.
I'm Josh Kincaid, capital markets analyst and host of your cannabis business podcast, The Talking Hedge, and newest member on PodCon X. So come on over and check out The Talking Hedge. We talk about business news, interviews, investments, events, all that stuff. So come nerd out with me over at the Talking Hedge. You can find me at thetalkinghedgepodcast.com or on all your favorite podcast platforms. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, or don't. And I'm out.